Yes, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for being here with us today, Lord. We thank you for carrying us through everything, Lord. You knew every single day of our lives, Father, before we were born. And you know when we need your help, and you know when we're being stubborn or we're not being patient, Lord. Father, but still you love us. And if we ask for forgiveness of our sins, you wash them away forever. And one day we'll be there with you, Lord, and we'll be able to walk and talk with you. Lord, we ask a special blessing over the service, over those that are here, Father, those that couldn't be here, and those hearts that are searching for you, Father, that they just don't know they need you yet, Lord. Bring them into you, Father. Let them know you. We ask a special blessing over this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
We're continuing our series through the book of James, and I have to confess here this morning that as I was seeking to prepare this message, I found myself this past week with all of the news events and everything just really being heavy, really being burdened, really being pushed down, even so much so that I was at the grocery store and then I saw a bird with a broken wing, and I was just grieved to the point that this world, many times, it will throw things at us, and things will take place, things will happen that, quite honestly, if we're brutally honest, we'll ask the question, why? We can even ask the question, where is God when all of this happens? We can even ask the question, like, how could God allow this to happen? And I just want to preface what I'm about to say with this statement, that friends, no matter what happens here in this world, Jesus Christ is on the throne. Jesus Christ is ruling. He is the eternal I Am. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And so no matter what we face here in this world, we need to hang on to that. We need to grasp a hold of that, that Jesus is at work in this world, in our lives, and in the events that take place, even when it makes no sense, even when we see things about a news reporter and the militant terrorist, you know, decapitating him. It makes no sense. We must hang on to the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King, and Jesus is still on the throne. And he, at one point, will come back, and he will set everything in order. He will return everything to the original created order that he made it to be. And that's to be in harmony with him. And that's to create all of this world the way that he wanted it to be. And so when I prepared this, it's all about patience. And I found that in the light of the recent news events, I found that the trivial things that we deal with patience, being in the drive-through line and wanting our food 30 seconds earlier, in light of someone being killed and martyred for just being who they are. Friends, I can't go there this morning. I can't and I won't, because it just the perspective that we have to have in our world, the world that we live in, it must change in our mind, and we must start there with our focus being that God is God, Jesus is God, He's our Savior, and He is still reigning on the throne. And so before we get into our text this morning, I just wanted to lay that out, because sometimes when we see those things happen, our faith can be shaken, our faith can waver, our faith can even cause us to question God and cause us to oppose why God would allow those things to happen. And friends, we can't go there. We have to have our focus on God still at work, and God is still at work, and our focus has to be upon what God wants to produce in your life and in my life. And that's my challenge for all of us this morning. Too often times when we talk about patience in the midst of a reality of life, you know where the focus rests? It rests on you and me. And we get struggling and we get, you know, discouraged when we can't be patient enough. And friends, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Our focus has been misaligned for too many years. We've been looking at the source being you and me to be patient. Friends, you nor I have anything in us to be patient. The true source of patience comes from God and God alone. And so our focus has to be upon Jesus being on the throne. He is God. And if it's up to you and up to me to be patient in this world, it'll never happen. We must rest upon what God is working, what God is doing, and what God wants to produce in your heart and my heart. And I say all that to say this. We're going to look at three examples that the half-brother of Jesus, James, gives to us. And he gives us the farmer, he gives us the prophets, and then he gives us Job. And there's a lesson for all of us in each one of these examples. And we're going to look at the diligence of the farmer, the determination of the prophets, and the deliberateness of Job. And friends, if we do this, if our focus is resting upon Jesus being King, Jesus being Lord, Jesus reigning in heaven, and yes, sometimes God doesn't act when we think he should act, but my question there will be, why are we impatient with God? Because God is God and we are not. And that's rough. But if you're like me, that's where you go. If you're like me, when you see the death and the destruction and the persecution all around this world and the utter turmoil, and then you see the haphazard wreaking, you know, havoc upon those people that don't deserve anything to experience what they are, you can go there. But friends, we can't. We must learn from what James says. And James, he writes to a people that are persecuted, much like those Christians over in Iraq today that have been scattered because of their faith and as a result of the martyring of Stephen. We could look at the book of Acts and we would see. And then James writes to them and tries to encourage them. And he calls them the ones that have been scattered out because of their faith. And he is seeking to encourage them in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of difficulty, things that you nor I have ever experienced in our country. You nor I have ever experienced in our world. We read about it in the newspapers, we hear about it on the news channels, and yet we deal with patience as if it's not getting what we want. Friends, I have a friend, he's from Bangladesh, and for him, he's on religious asylum here. He came to college here, and he became a Christian. And when he became a Christian, Bangladesh is largely 100% Muslim. And he knows that if he goes back home, it means certain death. And so for him to be patient is something far different than for you and for me to be patient. For us to be patient, it's all self-inward focused. For him to be patient is about God doing what God wants to do in the hearts and souls of people. And that's my challenge, to shift our focus from getting it away from our self-absorbed, self-desiring focus and focus upon what God wants to do. Because God is never too early and he's never too late. And God, when he sends his Holy Spirit, he will work in the hearts and souls of those people. And so I say that as we turn to James chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. If you brought your Bibles, I certainly hope that you have. And please follow along as we read the first 11 verses of the 5th chapter of James. James, being the half-brother of Jesus, who didn't come to Christ until after Jesus was resurrected, and you think about the perspective that he must have had, the intensity that he had to possess to walk a life of faith, and yet he saw his own brother be crucified, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and yet he is the leader of the church of Jerusalem seeking to encourage those individuals that were being tormented and persecuted for their faith. And so he writes, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and they will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, they cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. This past week, as I mentioned, all I could do was really begin to pray, and this is scriptural, begin to pray that the Lord Jesus would come and he would come quickly. I don't know why, but I was extremely burdened over all of the suffering and the tragedy of life. And that's exactly the situation that James writes to. And many of us, we might not experience the life and death persecution that our brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing around the world. But many of us in here have experienced the oppression of the rich, those people that are controlling the natural resources, those people who are in the positions of power, those people who have all the control, and they seek to oppress. They seek to employ their own agenda. They seek to employ their own wants and their own desires. And that's exactly what was taking place to the people James was writing to. And he says to them, he calls them out. And in verse 7, then he begins to exhort the audience that he's writing to. And he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. And here's our first lesson. The diligence of the farmer. And I grew up on a farm, and then I worked on a dairy farm for many years. And I'm going to tell you that there is no vacation for a farmer. It's a 365-day-year job. Every year, morning till dusk, before dawn until after dusk, there are always tasks that need to be done. And yet the farmer doesn't have control over the crops. You see, you or I, we don't have control over what goes on in this world either. And yet the farmer, in his diligence, he seeks to get up and do what he is called to do day in, day out, whether it's fixing a machine or whether it's going out and fertilizing the crop. He's diligent in what he does. He never slacks, nor does he slumber. He takes care of that which he can, and he leaves the rest up to God. And you see, when we get impatient in our lives, what we do is we take back those things that we'll never be able to control. It'd be the same as a farmer saying, I'm going to make it rain today. I'm going to cause it to rain. And a farmer can't do that. And when we get impatient, we take that control back. We need to leave up to God what God can only control. And we need to control those things and deal with those things that we can control. Be diligent about it. That's the first thing that James says. And he exhorts to be patient and establish your hearts. You see, when we begin to be patient and we begin to reprioritize and give God the control that he and he alone deserves and quit trying to control those things that we were never meant to control, what happens in our heart and soul is our hearts are established in God, a faith that will not be shaken, because we will see what God is doing and our focus and our view will be what God is working even behind what we see here. And that's what James is saying. Be diligent. Be diligent with what you can do. Be diligent in those things that God has called you to. And many times we'll see things in this world and it'll cause us to want to stop and quit and just, you know, throw up our hands and say it doesn't make a difference. We can't. We mustn't stop. We have to press on and persevere. And then James, he begins and he continues on after he exhorts his audience to be patient and to allow their hearts to be established and to be diligent in what the farmer does. He moves on to the prophets in verse 9. And friends, here's a warning for all of us. He says, do not grumble, brethren, against one another. If you're like me, when I get impatient with God, you know who else I get impatient with? Other people. You see, when we take things back from God in our life, in our heart and soul, and we try to employ what only God can do, then we begin to be impatient with other people, and we begin to grumble about what they do or what they don't do. And friends, the root cause and the reality of it is our impatience with what we think God ought to do. And friends, we are not God. God and God is God alone. And when we start to grumble, when we start to complain against one another, it's really a situation and a signifying fact that our hearts are being impatient with what we feel and want God to do. And we are saying, come on, God, do it now. I want it done now, and this is how I want it done. And yet, God says, uh-uh. I am God. I'll do it the best way. I'll do it the way that is best for everybody. And so when we begin to grumble, we need to be aware that we are really impatient with God. And so James continues on. He says, do not grumble, brethren, against one another, that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Then he says, as an example of suffering and patience, brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And this is discipline. This is the discipline that the prophets dealt with. They were given a task to speak the word of the Lord. And you can look all through the Old Testament and you can see the sufferings that they were suffered and what they were thrown at. Isaiah, I believe, was sawn in two. Jeremiah was thrown into a miry pit and left to die. And yet they were determined to say, no, this is what God has called me to. I am not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit until I fulfill what God has asked me to do. It's that determination. And understanding and recognizing that Jesus is on the throne and the scripture attests that somehow, some way, God will work all situations for good according to the purposes of those who love Him. And we need to hang our hat on that. We need to understand that no matter, even when we don't get it as to why God would allow certain things, why He would permit other things to take place, that God has a role, He has a purpose for allowing that to take place. We may not understand it until we're in home in glory with Him. We may not understand it here on this side of heaven, but we need to trust in the fact that God is a good God. He's a good God. He's a merciful and compassionate God, and He has a purpose. And it may be a purpose to draw somebody else to Him. The prophets were a witness. When you and I go through suffering, when we go through difficulties, you know what we are doing without even speaking a word? We are giving a witness of our faith. I talk with people time and time again that have gone through incredible suffering, and people walk up to them and they say, how are you doing it? And then they're perplexed, like, why are you asking me that? Well, the reason they're asking that, because they are witnessing to their faith even when they don't even utter a word. And that's the prophets, friends. It's being determined to say, I am going to live out my faith. I am not going to shrink back. I'm not going to shirk my duty. I am not going to do anything except what God has determined that I do. And it's all about God's will for my life and not my own will. Friends, that's determination. It's determination. And so we have the diligence of the farmer, the day in, the mundane, the constant, abiding, this and that, even when we think it doesn't even make a hill of beans a difference. And we hang in there. And we have the determination that God would be proclaimed in our life, through our life. And then James moves to Job. And if you're familiar with Job, Job was a man who was very familiar with suffering. And he was a man who was lost everything, had no fault of his own. And yet he chose to be deliberate in his choice. He said, though he slay me, I will praise him. And you know, that's Job. And that's our deliberateness in our life. We have to be intentional in what we do. We have to be deliberate in all that we do. We have to be so focused on God receiving the glory and persevere through all those difficult times and allow our hearts to be established. And you know, when we are doing all this, when we're abiding with the Lord, you know what's at work in you and me? The Holy Spirit is. And you know what the Holy Spirit's producing? Patience. You see, patience isn't about you or me being more patient in the waiting line. Patience isn't about you or me withholding from some pleasure that we want or waiting another week from something that we ordered to come in the mail. Patience is a component of the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is relinquishing to God His rightful ability to rule and to reign here on this earth. Patience is about having the focus of God working even when it doesn't even seem like He's doing anything. It's handling those things that we can handle in diligence, daily diligence. It's being determined to follow through with God's will for your life and mine, and it's being deliberate in the choices that we make. And so, friends, I don't know, you may be like me, but the more I look at the news, the more I read the news, the more I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. This world is not a friendly place anymore. But we must hang on to God being at work. God doing what only God can do. We have to go there. We have to quit trying to be the captain of our own ship and to handle those things that you nor I were ever meant to handle. We have to have our focus and be diligent in the role that God has us in and to be determined to serve God and His will for your life and mine and to be so deliberate that we are intentional in our choices and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through us. And then, you and I, we will truly be patient. Patience the way that God wants us to be patient. And patient in allowing the Holy Spirit to work and produce in you and in me something that you nor I can ever produce, because it's coming from God. It's coming from the Lord. It's coming from another world. It's coming from the heavens. It's coming from eternity. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank You, Jesus, for Your mercy. And Father, we thank You for the challenge. Lord, we confess that many times we just struggle to make sense of this world that we live in, and we struggle in these things to try to make sense of things. But Father, I pray You would establish our hearts as we focus on You and recognize that You are still on the throne, Jesus. You and You alone are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the one that was sent here to die for our salvation, Jesus. We thank You, Father, for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You for Your compassion. We thank You for Your truth. Father, we pray that You would realign our focus, that we would give to You the role and responsibility that You need to have. Forgive us when we take that role from You. Forgive us when we get impatient with You because we want things our way. We want things our time. Father, we pray You would constantly work, and we thank You for that promise of Your word that says You will work for good all things for those who love You. And so, Father, we pray that You would find us to be diligent in dealing with those things we need to deal with and handling those things that we need to handle, and find us determined to live out Your will for our lives. And Jesus, may we be deliberate in all that we choose to do. May we exude the perseverance that Job had and possessed. And Lord, above all, produce Your patience in our heart, our minds, and our souls. Produce it, we pray. We'll thank You this day for what You will do and what You have done. In the holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Not sure where you're at this morning, what you're dealing with, the burdens that you carry, but one thing I am sure of is that Jesus said to come to Him, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give you and me rest. And that rest, friends, is a peace. It's a patience. It's giving God what God wants to carry for your life and mine. It's allowing Him to be the Lord of the universe and the Lord of your life. So friends, as we depart here this morning, I challenge all of you to not leave here if there's unfinished business, if you're still carrying a burden that God wants to carry for you, to give it over to the Lord. We have individuals that will pray with you, Val and Charlene and myself. So I challenge you all to not leave here, not to walk out those doors, because you know what's going to happen when you and I walk out those doors. We're going to take those things back upon ourselves once again. Let God be God. Let Him develop the patience in your life. Let Him carry those things when we struggle to deal with it. So as we depart, May the Lord, the God who is ready and willing and able to bless you and keep you, may he bless your heart with his peace, and may he develop you in patience. May he keep your heart with his love and compassion and mercy. In the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I depart in peace. Amen.